Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Steve Lacy, Binge Talking, Season 2, Episode 7. And as we've been doing this podcast over the past year or so, it's basically sort of evolved organically into deeper conversations with people I know largely through my social media life and or live music, in particular Fish. We've had a spoil of riches the past year. We've had 17 Fish shows at MSG in 2017. And over the course of that time, through Twitter, through Instagram, and through actually just being at the shows, I've met a ton of cool people. None cooler than my guest, Jen Bernstein, someone I'm very excited to have in here. If you travel in Fish World, you definitely know Jen. You know her Instagram account, NYC Jam Gal. She's always right up riding the rail at shows. She's married with a daughter, yet she managed to hit all 17 Fish shows at MSG in 2017, which is pretty incredible. We also have the same Fish regret, which we'll get into during this episode. As far as her day job, she is a contributing writer for High Times magazine. She describes herself as an accidental activist for the legalization of pot. She's tons of fun. She's exactly what you'd want her to be if you've only seen her but never met her. Without further ado, here is NYC Jam Gal Jen Bernstein.
From New York City, USA, welcome to the Fox 5 Podcast Network.
Jen Bernstein is here. Jen, welcome.
What up, Steve Lacy? I'm here. Like, I'm here in Fox 5.
That's right.
This at the podcast.
We're in the podcast headquarters here.
With Steve Lacy.
Like everybody else on Earth, Jen is someone I follow on Instagram and know from Fish. So that's our concentric circle there. And I appreciate you coming in because the thing I am most fascinated about you is I feel like most people's lives, they sort of insinuate what they're up to or like, oh, this person probably does this or that, but like they can't really show it. Your life is just out and proud. The whole thing.
What can I say? I love weed. And, you know, when I started at High Times and you know, 2010. I guess that's what happens when you're a stoner. You kind of forget when you start and when you end
Minor
places.
Minor details are of little importance.
Yeah, but, you know, you kind of forget those things. And, yeah, I live loud. I live proud. Mm-hmm. And when I started, I call myself an accidental activist or advocate because I was in magazine publishing. I was a managing editor. And when I started at High Times, it wasn't because I had this great, you know, journalism experience. It was because I could play softball and they needed a ringer for the bong hitters. And here I was. I had a great arm. I could play left field, you know. And
I'm a left fielder too. Wow.
Oh, sweet. So let's go go
totally.
play catch afterwards. I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, now with legalization, even though New York only has the Compassionate Care Act, when I travel to California or to Colorado or to any of the legal states, you know, I'm happy to show what's out there because I feel like it's only going to help propel other states forward.
Right.
Colorado, in its first year of legalization, earned $64 million in tax revenue.
Yep.
So here's New York, and it's like, you know, I would love to have a program where we can give that money back to the state and, you know, create anti-gun campaigns, anti-bullying campaigns, whatever
right,
it is,
right.
And use that money for good.
Because all this money is just being lost in the black market, not being taxed, et cetera.
Sure.
And what's New York's deal is it's less liberal than it should be given its politics, right?
Yeah, even today, I think our Senate, which is Republican, decided not to fund this program, which was going to increase, you know, money going to medical marijuana research.
Yep.
And, you know, I read something like that, I'm like, this is the wrong direction. We are surrounded by states that are legal or have better medical programs.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, New Jersey, their governor just said, we're going to, you know, legalize in 100 days. And that hasn't happened, but at least they're moving forward.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, here's New York that's just going to miss out on this tax revenue.
And what, I mean, it feels like we're at a particularly tortured moment where the states are going one direction and the feds going completely the opposite direction. Jeff Sessions is like redoubling down on the war on pot.
I hear that, but at the same time, in this recent bill that just passed, it was pretty much, in favor of the Rohrabacher-Farr memo, which says states' rights, let state rights prevail. So keep your hands off of our weed, let the states decide. And Earl Blumenauer, who is in Oregon, has been, you know, a huge proponent of legalization. He legalized, you know, with the help of his state.
Yep.
He got together with other governors from other legal states and have, you know, written memos to the government just saying, you know, this is really a state's decision.
Well, it makes weird political bedfellows because you get the states' rights, who are typically Republican, who you wouldn't associate with being pro-pot.
But it's bipartisan. That's the one thing that we really know about cannabis, is that we know it's a miracle plant. We know that it should be rescheduled from a Schedule One drug that says it has no medicinal value.
Right. It's scheduled the same as heroin or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even Coke is in a lower
class. No way. Wow.
Exactly. So we really need to get our government on board. But we know why it hasn't been legalized for, you know, the country. Think about Big Pharma.
Right.
Why would they want you to be able to grow your own weed in your backyard when they could be selling you opioids?
So you're saying that's what drives a lot of the anti-pot.
Well, think about it. There's no cannabis lobbying. And we really need cannabis lobbyists to go and start putting money in our politicians' pockets, because that seems to be the only way that they listen.
Right.
It's not that they're representing really what the constituents want.
Right.
When 65% of Americans want legalized cannabis, just legalize it. You know, it's really, you know, head banging.
Right. It's discouraging the closer you get to the machine to see how it works.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, let the states decide, let the, you know, let our voices be heard. And, you know, after reading about, you know, medical cannabis not being funded here for New York and this recent bill, I'm like, what can I do? It's really about organizing and getting the people to come together. So I'm going to start talking to people and seeing what we can do. Maybe we need some type of like action network.
I'm surprised it doesn't exist
yet.
I
mean, there are groups, there are, you know, meetups in New York, but at the same time, it's like, who's out there? You know, let the loudest voices be heard.
Right.
And I'm just kind of looking around and there's nobody. So I'm like, I guess it's up
You're
to
nominating
us.
Yourself.
Well, let's do it.
Right.
You know, I'm tired of sticking around and I'm I'm not sticking around, but like not seeing anything get done.
Right. Did you hear the rumor that pot is legal at MSG when Fish plays there?
I'm not sure if it was in their writer or what, but I mean, there are other safety, you know, causes that I think that people would rather look out for than somebody lighting up.
Right.
And also, you know, a friend of mine helped get those bottle caps, which they used to take away, get put back on the
bottles.
This
was what I was like, I didn't fully understand the furor over this, but in Fish World, the idea that you couldn't have caps on your water became like this Twitter cause celeb, where the guy Jeff Kravitz, a photographer, talked to somebody at MSG. And they were allowed to. Was that just for the Baker's Dozen or New Year's?
No, I think it's for.
Now it's back.
It's for Fish.
For Fish only.
I'm not sure if it's Fish only, because I had friends who were at Justin Timberlake, and I wasn't sure if the man in the woods was going to say, "Let these people have their caps."
And the fear was what, that you could like put the cap on and throw it at a basketball player or something.
But Fish fans are peaceful people. We're there for the music, and really, you know, people who are there at shows. We don't want to spill our water. We just want to drink it. We don't want to throw it. So I don't know even how that became a thing. But, you know, most of the time I'm on the floor. And
you are always like way up front on the floor. Do you just do that the old-fashioned way? Like you get there overnight? How do you get up there that close?
So I don't get there overnight, especially for like the New Year's Eve run. It's really cold out and it's like a health issue.
Right.
To
you
sleep
won't make it
overnight.
Through 4 nights if you're, I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. But so thank goodness for Fish and their head of security and their policies. What they've created now is like a number system where line up at, say, 8:30, and at 9 they start giving out the numbers. So it's first come, first serve.
Yep.
You get your number and then you get back in line according to your number. at, you know, say by 5, 5:30, mm-hmm. because that, you know, if doors are 6, whatever it is, right. You start to walk in, and then, you know, MSG is really great because they work with Fish.
I love
they don't
MSG
want people
so
waiting in line outside in the cold. So they open the doors early the rail riders or the, you know, GA floor. And so you actually get to wait inside.
Right. So you look like a pretty cool Fish scene. Like, I see you hang out with Tom Marshall. And like, what was your...
Shout out Under the Scales.
That's right, Under the Scales podcast. Come on my podcast and I'll plug your podcast.
Awesome.
That's the world.
That's the way it works.
Totally.
Yeah, and they have this new Osiris, you know, network of podcasts.
Thing, right?
Yeah, so
right.
It's like they have... They're like an umbrella network.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I'd love to have a cannabis podcast
right.
on there. So maybe we'll start that.
So it's funny. Like, you're the type of person where like, we almost have to keep... Wait, don't say it. Don't share. Don't stop talking because like... We're wasting too much good content, and we spilled so much stuff already on the way to the elevator. First off, we have the same Fish regret, which is not doing Big Cypress.
So I was traveling abroad, and you know, I'm here, you know, I'm watching video cheesecake. What's going on? I'm like missing the biggest thing in the world. I was traveling. I was with my Scottish boyfriend in Glasgow, so I missed out on that. But then, you know, we were saying that to have what Mike Gordon says is like a peak experience, you know, one of those moments that really transcends in music. Mm-hmm. And Baker's Dozen really was that for me.
That was the best thing ever.
And, you know, for Trey and the band to be so thoughtful and to put so mm-hmm. much hard work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how many covers they learned, like 18 plus cover, you know.
More,
you know, those arrangements, the a cappella arrangements. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to even like pick... a night that is, you know, so good.
Totally.
Everybody says jam night. I mean, how can you go wrong with
four,
jam
right.
night? But I love Double Chocolate. It's But yeah,
what was,
you know,
was Double Chocolate? What was that one? That was like the second Friday or something.
Yeah,
the Chocolate
Choc Rain.
Dust. Oh yeah. Tay Zundy. That was incredible. The person I was with was like, "What the hell is this?"
I didn't even know what is this.
Oh
song?
No, I'm like, "This is Chocolate Rain by Tay Zundy." This was like the first famous YouTube clip ever. It's the funniest thing, and they did the whole pull away from the mic and everything. It was incredible. So Jen, this is amazing to me because I did 9 of the 13. You know, and limped through that, almost dead by the end of it. You have a husband who goes to shows with you, mm-hmm. a young daughter, and you did 13.
I did 13.
You're a little bit younger than me. Was
I don't know.
I think you are. I'm 42.
We'll see. Oh, okay. So a little bit. A little bit.
How physically, what was like your... To get the stamina to get through it. How did you work through? I mean, was it physically hard?
Strong sativas.
Uh-huh.
Some indicas to help me, you know, or edibles to help me sleep at night.
Yep.
My parents, who graciously came in and babysat.
Oh, huge. That's huge.
Yeah, so we had, you know, somebody... And really, I mean, how can you pay for a babysitter for 13 nights of Fish here in New York City? We pay 20 an hour. It's like we would have to take out a second mortgage.
Right.
but you know what? I love weed, and you know, I use it in so many different forms. There's topical, so you know, if my neck was hurting from like rocking out too much, you know, or you know, I'm one of those people who I'm sorry, I hold up my phone and I catch these like 3 minute or you know, 2 minute clips. My arm's a little tired from holding up my phone and or taking photos.
Since you always have great seats, your like your streams of everything are incredible. Your Instagram account
you.
Is
I
so
try.
Good because like, oh my God, she's in the second row. I'm always like, holy crap, she's always in the best spot in the house.
I try my best. And you know, shout out to the Fish crew who, I mean, they do such a good job at, you know, capturing these moments. But truthfully, as a stoner, I am very visually oriented, and the only way for me really to remember what's going on is if I'm shooting or have like a video or a snapshot of that time. And now with, you know, Facebook, when these moments come up, or I can go back in my, you know, Insta feed mm-hmm. or timeline and say, oh yeah, that's what I was doing like 3 years ago, or Flashback Friday this, or, you know, whatever it is, that's how I remember, because in the moment I am so keyed in the music and it's hard for me to remember, like, you know, is this still Lawn Boy? Like, where are we? Like,
that came from an organic place of people literally having no idea 25 minutes in if it was still Lawn Boy.
Yeah.
I missed the weeknight shows. I did the three weekend, you know, 3-3-3.
Yeah.
And then by the missing night four, that's when night four is when everyone realized, like, oh my God, this is so on, you know?
And, you know, I'm thankful to the band for, you know, there were all these rumors before, like, is there going to be a Game Henge night?
Yeah.
They kind of, like, split it up throughout. So that was good. And they were just so crafty in arranging. Mm-hmm, so I heard there was this spreadsheet, right?
Yes.
Of all the songs.
Trey had all the songs.
Yeah, and you really did have to be that thoughtful in coordinating a donut. A theme and, you know, all the songs that just like went in, you know, for Jimmy nights, like all those, you know,
Jimi Hendrix or Jimmy in the title of this, that, and the other.
Yeah, or Jimmy, my husband and I, so we've been going back and listening to all the shows.
Yeah. I love the app so much. I love having the app.
Yeah.
You know,
so was it, they did a song from Quadrophenia. I'm not sure if it was Drowned. And there's a Jimmy in Quadrophenia. The layers are just so deep.
I'm like the loudmouth, always trying to guess everything, and I'm always wrong because whatever they do is always 10 times more brilliant.
They are, I mean, and that's what's so fascinating about this band is that there's so many levels, and I've gone on podcasts, and especially on Under the Scales, Tom was talking to me about the subculture of Phish, and is there one? And there's definitely this huge, culture. Is it a cult? Is it a religion?
Phish Twitter so much. It adds so much to my life. Like, that's I think it's definitely my favorite part of Twitter.
I've met some of my best friends from the Phish tribe. Yeah, and, you know, this year I did, the Secret Junta for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out LJ Stella, Lou Stella, who was...
I don't know that one.
He was my guy. And so, you know, I sent him like a Fishman tie-dye. It's so cool to... Twitter has sparked movements.
Mm.
It's one of my largest news, places to get news.
Yep.
And I've ended up meeting like some of my best friends and us, and really became good friends with Mi Arf and then also Felicia Fide. Felicia, who works at Fed Donuts, responsible for
the
donut
thing.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Strawberry Night. Scotty Marks. Mm-hmm. I went, hey, what's going on, man? And then he's like, this is Felicia. Do you want? And she's like, would you like a strawberry donut? I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Thank you.
For sure.
Exactly. Because if you're not one of those first, like, 3,000 to get in.
Right.
And imagine, is there a greater gift besides the jams and the music than to give out donuts at a Phish show?
There was the New York Times did a great article on that. I know you saw that, about sort of describing the whole thing there. And just politically, again, like, this was a thing today, literally today, Mitch McConnell proposing hemp legalization in Kentucky, because that hemp is totally separate than
pot. Exactly. So with hemp, you have non-psychoactive ingredients, meaning that you're not going to get high.
Right.
And industrial hemp has thousands of uses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with textiles, where is the textiles industry in the States anymore? There is none.
Right.
And we're talking about, you know, hemp can be used for hempcrete. Hempcrete can be used for buildings. It's a totally renewable plant.
Right.
Everything from rope to, you know, producing planes to whatever it is that we can be using hemp for.
Right.
And you want to create jobs? Create hemp fields.
Yeah.
You know, we need people to work the fields. We need people to produce. There's so many uses, and, you know, there used to be hemp times along with high times,
separate
magazine.
Really?
Yeah. And I believe that was in the 80s and 90s. And Dan Sky, who was the editor in chief when I was at High Times, also was the editor in chief of that publication as well.
Uh huh. I still can't believe the High Times baseball team, softball team is the Bong Hitters. That's
the Bong Hitters. I mean, it's perfect. And, you know, we'd be down, you know, maybe like, you know, 3-0 or whatever. We would have the rally joint, you know, and we'd be playing the New Yorker, the Wall Street Journal, or Vanity Fair.
My friend used to work the Onion. Like, oh, we're playing the High Times softball
team. Yeah, they're
like,
oh, this
amazing.
Is like a powder puff game. No, I mean, we lit that rally joint. They'd be like, they're getting high. And then we'd come back.
Like,
we'd beat them by like four runs. And then we'd end up being like the number one in the New York Media Softball League.
Come on.
Seriously. It was a title that we defended many years.
That's unbelievable. And like, do you ever get bugged out or like wigged out or anything? Or like,
no, come on. I mean, we're totally low key. We're like, we've got this, you know? Yeah. And then, it was such a blast. And, you know, it's a shame that the company had to move to LA, and that's right. Really where, you know, California was already the largest medical market, but now with legalization, I mean, they're just poised to
right.
be
was
the,
that, was
the largest
that what drove
in the world.
Them moving out there, or was it to be closer to entertainment industry or all of it?
A little bit of both, because yeah. they did sign, you know, with a UTA or one of
sure.
the talent agencies.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll put out better shows than, say, Disjointed. Mm-hmm. High Times does have a new podcast network head up by Jackie Stang. She's doing a great job. Matt Stang, which still oversees all the advertising, which is huge. You would think that in advertising it's going down in the rest of the world, but in magazines it's going up.
Right. I saw an old article of yours where you said, like, it's the niche stuff that's gonna survive.
Of course. Like, so I used to, I would head up the vape pen review, and we would get all types of, vape pen, ads, or we would do certain. I have a YouTube video where I was repping like cloud pens and how to clean your pen, which like garnered like 300,000-400,000 YouTube views.
Oh, so
because,
you had sponsorship deals, like you get
paid. Because nobody would know how to do that, and still like that's my bread and butter now. And so I will take on certain clients. I helped make Puffco a name brand in vape pens overnight.
Jen, if I'm unemployed after this podcast, what shows will I see at this summer?
Well, you'll be fine. But seriously, I mean, this is medicine. At the end of the day, this is a healing, non-toxic miracle plant. If we found cannabis today, say in the rainforest, and you know, brought it back, people would be praising it for what it is. Mm-hmm. But instead, we've been using cannabis for 3,000 years. We're coming up on, Easter? And they anointed Jesus, perhaps, with cannabis oil? I mean, this is nothing new. And it really is because of the Anslinger effect and Reagan and the failed drug war that our government wants to, you know, keep the people down and not let us, you know, pursue this, you know, the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, this is a freedom of ours and it should be treated as so.
When are we going to see you in the Senate? Or in the White House?
I don't know, because money isn't my my main objective.
Yeah.
It's really getting the plant to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that the next president will legalize cannabis.
Uh-huh.
It's going to happen.
Jen.
And that's the message we're putting out there.
Right.
I mean, seriously, we are positive. We have to get the message out.
You're a great spokesperson for it. Jen, I'm so psyched
to
finally had you come in here.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. This episode was recorded, edited, and mixed by Matt Onimus. Our executive producers are me, Matt, and Ahmad Asghar. Our vice president of news is Byron Harmon, and our vice president and general manager is Lou Leone. Binge Talking is part of the Fox 5 Podcast Network. I'm Steve Lacy, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, at Stephen Lacy with a V, or on Instagram, Steve Lacy, STEVELACY. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next episode.